Good order as we start our sermon today. Week number two of the Inspirational Imposters. I hope that you got something out of last week in some of the phrasing that we use and some of the ways that we think we are so godly sometimes in our advice towards people, right? And sometimes we fail to realize that some of the words that we use are not so godly at all, which inspired this Inspirational Imposters. And today, we go into our week number two series, and I have a few things for you. So we're going to look at this well-meaning phrase again, a different phrase this time, but a very well-meaning phrase. I mean, we all mean good by it whenever we use it, but again, your banner, and I know you, you're very godly, and there's no way that any of you use this phrase incorrectly. Ever. Pause for effect was important. To re-ask, elicit response. Thank you. It's like you guys know me already. It's only been 10 months. So in preparation for today's sermon, I thought about something. And I read a few articles about this, how this phrase was misused. And this one particular article used this movie as a reference. So let me start off by saying my small print that in no way am I saying this movie is awesome. In no way am I saying that you should go out and watch this movie today. I don't know. I don't even remember seeing this movie. So I'm just not an endorsement. Fine print. Fine print over. So here's this movie I'm talking about. It is called Pursuit of Happiness. See, Will Smith plays in this movie, and he portrays this guy, Christopher Gardner. See, he was a self-made millionaire in this movie, of course. And he was the CEO of Granger & Rich & Company, a stock brokerage firm in Chicago. See, his story that made this movie was that he was self-made from the impossible situation that he was in when he grew up, going from foster home to foster home and a very difficult home life that he lived. But he made this self-made millionaire life come true. He was trying so hard to live his life for him. Because here's the words that his mother gave him. Great wisdom as a young child. You can only depend on yourself. The Calvary ain't coming. So he tried so hard to depend on himself and rely on himself. And this self-reliance made him a self-made millionaire. But was it for the right reasons? No doubt this story is inspiring and inspires us to want to do something, right? To rise up and be a self-made millionaire, which would be fantastic. And some of you might have this inclination to say, well, God helps those to help themselves. Which leads us to today's phrase. Again, none of you use this, I'm sure. But God helps those that help themselves, right? It's a well-meaning phrase. I mean, we mean it well. We are encouraged by it, right? I mean, it's inspirational. It's comforting. It sounds like encouragement to pass on and to tell them to press on and look and be encouraged by what I've just told you. It sounds like godly inspiration, right? But, spoiler alert, and you might know that by the title of my sermon here, it is not in the Bible. Now, interesting thing, there was a survey done by Barna Research Group in 2000 that found that 75% of Americans and 40% of Christians believe this phrase is found in the Bible. In a very more recent survey, it was 68% of Christians believe this statement is in the Bible. Believe this statement is in the Bible. 68% of Christians. Now, I ain't gonna lie. I've been guilty at times to hear these great inspirational phrases and think, yeah, that sounds about right. Thankfully, you know, I'm sure most of you don't have a wife like this, but I have a wife who has her master's degree in Christian ministry, so she's like, Teddy, no. Read your Bible more, buddy. That's my characterization. I mean, she might say it differently, but, you know, I have the mic, right? So, you know, there's moments where we make mistakes and we say things and we regret them because we just gave some bad information, some bad input to people. But if 68% of Christians know this phrase and believe this phrase to be true, then, wow, us pastors are failing miserably. That we're not encouraging our congregation to read our Bibles more. So I think it's important to not only know what this phrase is, but then also understand where it comes from. See, God helps those that help themselves. It sounds so awesome. But let's find out where it comes from. So where did this come from? Historians trace the idea of this back to Aesop's Fables, which is a very old collection of writings, okay? And very specifically in this Aesop's Fables is Hercules and the Wagoneer. And so I thought it would be very important to bring this up and tell this little story. It's a really short paragraph, I promise you. And it's about the Hercules and the Wagoneer. Hercules and the Wagoneer. It was actually recorded in about the first century AD, but probably they believe most of these fables come from like 5th century BC, but actually written down in the 1st century AD. So let me tell you the story about the Wagoneer. Wagoneer was once driving a heavy load on a very muddy way. At last, he came to a part of the road where the wheels sank half in into a mire. And the more the horses pulled, the deeper sank the wheels. So the Wagoneer threw down his whip and knelt down and prayed to Hercules, the strong. Oh, Hercules, help me in this in my hour of distress. But Hercules appeared to him and said, "Tut, man, don't sprawl there. Get up and put your shoulder to the wheel. The gods help them that help themselves." So you see this well-meaning phrase that 68% of Christians believe is in the Bible does not come from anywhere in the Bible. It comes from outside the Bible in a fable written about a god. We're talking small g here. See, in those moments where we understand where they come from, it's important for us to grasp that, to understand where these phrases come from, because that's the first step of actually reprogramming our thoughts and our processing of what it means to actually know the truth. And at the end of today, my goal is to get to what the truth really is. This famous, and this phrase was made famous in America by none other than Benjamin Franklin. See, he was a writer and helped publish Poor Richard's Almanac in 1757. And in that Poor Richard's Almanac, it literally says, "God helps those that help themselves." See, the phrasing in there just seems so righteous and so right. Surely it's godly. But if you take a little closer look, not so biblical at a closer look. It boils down to recognition on our part that God is the provider. But he does call us to do our part. He does call us to do a part, but it's a different way to look at this phrase. This phrase seems so, you know, get off the couch, get to work, and God will bless you. That's what it seems to be saying, but it's not. And we're going to recognize that over the course of our time together. First example in this, not so biblical, at a closer look, is let's think about prayer time. Pray for your meals. You gather together at a restaurant or even your home, and now you don't gather around empty plates and be like, "Pray God, I hope you provide for you today, provide for us today," and magically food appears. Now, God is that awesome, and he could do that, but chances are you probably have your meal in front of you because, one, you worked hard to provide for your family. Your wife or your husband worked really hard at preparing that meal or provide the income to buy the meal at the restaurant, and you prayed over the meal and thank you for your provision, right? So if you looked at a secular standpoint, and you look at this phrase, there's aspects of this that make sense. I worked hard, I'm blessed. So the phrasing of this looks, at first glance, to be really awesome. But is that exactly how it works? If you just work really hard, God will bless you. Well, we'll find out shortly that's not really the case at all. What about selling your house? What if you have a house for sale right now and you're like, I have this very particular number that I want to use. Let's say it's a really nice house. So $350,000. This is how much I want for my house because I believe it's worth it because I raised my 6 kids here and everything is great and I have all these memories and this house is worth it. But it's probably worth more like $290 really because your realtor agent said, hey, it's worth $290. You should really listen to that and you'll sell it. But no. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to call all my friends. I'm going to call my phone tree, my church phone tree, my email list, my pastor. Everybody's going to be praying for me. We're going to get this money because that's what it's worth. Months go by. Months and months and months go by, and you still don't sell it. So now you come into the pastor's office, nobody's office in particular that's over here, and you say, Pastor, why does God hate me? We've been praying. The whole church has been praying. Why isn't my house sold? Well, what'd your realtor say? Well, she said it's worth about $290 and I should list it at that. Pastor says, well, maybe you should list it at $290 and I bet you'd sell. Because maybe God is using this realtor and her giftedness and her training to inspire you to sell it at a right price so you can actually sell it. Well, you know, congregation members, no one from here, of course, don't really like to hear the truth sometimes. So she stomped out, and then she realized a month or two later when it still didn't sell, that she should list it for a different price according to the realtor. So she did. And what happened? The house sold. All those examples to say that there's something to this whole, you got to have a foot in the game, you got to be a part of it, you got to do some work. But don't mistake it for works. Just a little bit of example, a little background there. See, there's partial truth in this found in Scripture. Partial truth. Because I want to make sure I point to you the Scripture that says something about it is kind of right, just not quite right. See, the Thessalonian church, they were established by Paul on one of his missionary journeys to Europe. And he told them that Jesus Christ and the new life God offers them is coming. And quite possibly very soon that he's coming. So the Christians of the church are like, well, if he's coming soon, let me sell all my possessions. Let me sell all my possessions and be ready for him to come. So if you were to turn to 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12, 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12, you're going to find a piece of scripture that Paul talks to these people. Because these people did not sell our things and live modestly and live, you know, as a collective body, as a church. What they did is they start feeding off everybody else. They started going to all their other Christian friends and now feed me, clothe me, house me. And what did they become? We call it in modern days, what's called a sponge. Or those children that never leave home. Not that we have any of those. Those sponges, right? Just keep wanting more and more and more of your stuff. And all along, also doing some gossiping and slandering and dividing the church. So Paul speaks to them directly, and this is where the half-truth comes from. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12. In fact, sorry, I missed my spite there. In fact, when we were with you, this is what we commanded you. If anyone isn't willing to work, he should not eat. For we hear that there are some among you who walk irresponsibly, not working at all, but interfering with the work of others. Now we command and exhort such people by the Lord Jesus Christ that quietly working, they may eat their own food. So if you boil this message down, truly to the phrase we're talking about today, I think that scripture says God helps those to help themselves. No, not right at all. What did he say there? Quietly working, serving. God didn't call you to be a loafer. He didn't call you to be lazy. But he didn't say that do all these great works and you'll be blessed. He said you work hard and you do well. But not in a phrasing of the way this has been misunderstood, of God helps those that help themselves. But in a way that as a Christian, we've been called to do work and do works. But we're not blessed because we are doing so many works and so many things in that way. And I thought a very interesting aspect is to bring what Yoda thinks about this. And I think maybe Yoda would say this. Unbiblical it is. I truly believe this. Maybe. That Yoda would be very appropriately implemented here and said, unbiblical I think it is. I really do. That it's not true that this whole phrase came from this bit of verse. Because it's taken out of context, right? So nowhere in this phrasing, this imposter, is it saying what these people were doing. These people were loafing because they sold all their possessions and now they expected their brotherly love, their sisters in Christ, to provide for them and wait on them hand and foot. And that's not a Christian example at all, is it? That's not the life that we are called to live as Christians. We're called for so much more. So when you look at the phrase of God helps those who help themselves, it's partially true. It's just not true. It's just not true at all. But it's partially true, and it sounds like godly advice. But use the truth rather than the partial truths that sometimes come out. So even though this phrase is not true, I thought it'd be good to give an example of how this phrase has been used unbiblically. So when we look at this phrase, here's how I think it can be used as unbiblical usage. This half-truth, you know. God helps those who help themselves. See, sometimes Christians may use this when people are in need. Why don't you go work harder? And you'll get there. Come back and see me when you get there. And sometimes Christians, not us of course, but those people out there in the world that sometimes use this phrase for not good things. The phrase of, there are people in there in the world that actually can't help themselves. But we stand behind some unbiblical phrase like this and say, well, if you just wanted it, you'd work harder. Work more hours. If you wanted a job, you'd have it. All those phrases that we know are not right. Because the reality is, some people are just trapped. Some people are trapped in bad choices that have destroyed their life. And those people actually need a hand up. If you know me well enough, you know that I don't do handouts. We do hand ups. You reach down and you hand somebody a hand to rise them up. Handouts would be something that I'm just giving somebody and encourage them to stay being a loafer or whatever they're doing in their life. But someone who has fell on hard times needs a hand up to be encouraged. Not a phrase of, you know, God helps those that help themselves. But some people truly need a hand up. And they need us to encourage them and guide them and direct them and help them along the process. Because sometimes those choices, sometimes divorce, loss of job, death in family, consequences of bad choices after bad choices, get someone in a point that they truly need our help. So we as Christians have been called by God not to stand behind this untruth of God helps those who help themselves, but stand on Christian moral values that says, give a hand up by encouragement. Maybe even finances, a plate to eat, a bed to sleep on. Because when you look at this phrase of God helps those who help themselves, it is so unbiblical. But sometimes it rolls off our lips as if it were. Now we've looked at the unbiblical portion of it. Let's look at the biblical truth of it. And the example one is coming out of John 6, 1 through 13. I'm going to more of a paraphrase on it, but if you are, you'd like to know where the story is, I wrote up there for you guys to be able to turn to it and follow along a little bit. It's going to be more of a paraphrase, so don't quote me on it. See, this great crowd of people follow Jesus in response to these healing miracles. Healing miracles. So this great crowd of people followed Jesus. And they were in the wilderness, and it came time to eat. Now, you know the story well enough to know that Jesus asked the disciples to feed them. And one of the complaints is, it'll take 6 months of our income to do that. Because there's a great number of people. But Andrew found this little boy who had just a few loaves of bread and some fish. And he offered it to Andrew for Jesus. And he fed all the many people that were there and had plenty of leftover. So we look at that. That's just an example of what it means to feed those that are in need. Jesus laid that example, and the chances of you holding up a basket and multiplying bread is probably not likely, but you never know what God's going to do. He may bless you so much in your life that you have the extra income to help somebody in need. He may bless you so much with that job that you did not expect, that raise you did not expect, that incentive bonus that you did not expect, that maybe that incentive bonus wasn't for you to spend all on yourself on that new boat or that cabin. Maybe it was preparing the way for when God sent somebody in need to you. But in those moments, in those time of need, are you going to be the guy that says, or gal, that says, well, God helps those that help themselves, and I'm so glad I'm blessed. Are you going to be that person? Or are you going to be the person ready to help, ready to encourage, ready to offer that hand up, not hand down? In those moments, I would say that I would hope that all of you would be that person that gave the hand up and not the handouts, and not the phrasing of God helps those to help themselves. See, Jesus took that little boy, his food, and split it and shared with many and many and many people. What about example number two? Example number two comes from Leviticus 23:22. Leviticus 23:22. See, in this, I'm going to read this verse in just a moment. This verse gives God gives instructions to his people not to harvest all their crops, but to leave a fringe so that those in need, those that are poor, that don't have their own land, can go out and glean from these pockets of leftover food so that they can eat. And see, that's God's provision and providing for his people by instructing those that have to give to the poor. Not asking them to go out and work the fields and then give them what they've harvested, but asking them to leave a little bit so that those in need can harvest for themselves. See, now there's probably some biblical truth in there, some half-truths that we can steal from that and say, well, God helps those that help themselves. Right? They have to go out and work hard and get it, right? So how about I put that $100 over here and you have to figure out how to get here if you're 10 miles away and you need help. Yet, if you just get here, I'll leave it right here for you. See, there's some truth in there, right? No, then we'd be distorting the context again, wouldn't we? We'd be distorting the context again, which is what this phrase does overall. When we look at Leviticus 23:22, it says this. When you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap all the way to the edge of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreign residents. I am Yahweh, your God. Clear instructions to provide for those in need. Those instructions haven't gone away. Our mandate to serve God always has not changed. We're still to serve those in need. And I can't think of a better example than go to our example number three, which is in James 1:27. There are examples over and over throughout the Bible, but I thought this would be a good number three to top it off for you guys, that God calls us to help those who cannot help themselves. So there's a difference in a conversation when you're having with somebody who wants that handout, I mean, sometimes we've had those people, right? Sometimes those people have been present in our lives where they want handouts always. Handout, handout, handout. You offer a hand up. Ah, no. And for example, I was talking to somebody this last week that they were encouraging a homeless man who was asking for some money. And he's like, well, are you hungry? Yes. Well, let me go over here. I will sit with you and buy you anything you want to eat. And we'll have a meal together. Nah, if you just give me a dollar, I'll be good. Well, if you're hungry, I want to provide food for you. But what he wanted was a hand out, not a hand up. And see, the meal in his belly would have been filling, would have been satisfying. Because the man said, I'll buy you whatever you want on the menu to eat. He didn't want a hand up. He wanted a hand out. So there's always going to be those people in your life that we have to discern that phrasing of the hand out and hand up. But when you look at James 1:27, it says this. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. See, this unstained by the world phrase comes out as very important. Because reality is the world will be harsh on those in need. Because this is mine. I earned it. Remember that movie I referenced earlier? It's mine. I worked hard. I'm a self-made millionaire. It's mine. But now, those of you that fall in this line of thought, understand that it's all given by God. My car, my house, the church I serve in, my paycheck. It's all provided by God. But it requires humans to continue doing what God has called us to do. See, when we do things, it's just like a restaurant. The food didn't magically just appear on your plate. It required all these people doing their job, to the farmers, to the seed sellers, the fertilizing companies, the trucks that transport it, the trains, the planes, the automobiles. Oh my. All these people required to do their job, to work hard. Not because they're here to serve you, but that's what they're gifted to do. They work that job, that very particular job. And that's how we do it as Christian life. We all do what we're called to do and work hard and serve one another, but not hand out to one another. But continue offering the hand up, which is do our job day in and day out. Now, last example I want to give you is in Luke 10:25-37. Again, I'm going to paraphrase this for you. More down in a sentence, we'll say. Because it's the Good Samaritan story. We should know the Good Samaritan story by now. But if you don't, I'm going to quickly paraphrase it. This man was beaten and left for dead and robbed on the side of the road. And all these really pious men, you know, these really good men per se, walked right by him and did nothing. But there was this Samaritan who, to most Jews, were the bottom of the earth. But yet, this good Samaritan helped this man up, took him to the inn, paid for all his needs, and made sure he was taken care of. You see, hand up, not hand out. And we look at God, He loves us so much. Even those that haven't decided to follow Him yet, He's calling them right now. He's waiting for you to be that good Samaritan, to show that love of Christ that He's called us to do. Show that good Samaritan attitude of what it means when somebody needs a hand up. And I'll say this. He does not only judge us by our faith and our belief in Him, but by how our faith leads us into action. And be compassionate for the poor and needy. See, it's that action that's that next level of living, right? The next Christian level of living. That he calls us. We accept him. We believe in him. And he is Jesus Christ. Died on the cross. Our Savior. Blood, sin. All that stuff, right? But we're also called to action. To be more like Christ. Day in and day out. So now if we take the next step here. We want to contrast this half-truth with the truth. So we look at contrasting the half-truth with truth. And truth being scripture. And we try to really take this phrase and reword it and make it true. It would probably sound something like this. God helps those who cannot help themselves. Doesn't that change it? That changed it to be right, didn't it? Does that line up with scripture? God helps those who cannot help themselves. That realigns this whole phrase. Because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's not about those that are wanting to hand out. It's about just doing what God has called us to do. And scripture says it in and out for us to be examples, to live for his glory, not our own. If he's blessed us, remember, we got everything from him. So when we give a little back to somebody else, it's because he's called us to do so. All these things are true and factual. See, it's been my experience that God most often meets the needs of the hurting and struggling people by acting through his people. I tell Sarah this story all the time, and I might have shared a few of you. There's always I always have this need to carry cash with me. Not because I want to buy things. I really rarely do I just buy things like that. I mean, think through it and I go buy what I want, but not impulsively in that way. But the cash is for if there's somebody in need that needs something, that I can meet that immediate need to be able to just give. That's because I experienced that when I was a kid, and I wasn't a believer as a kid. And again, most of you know I was far from it. But there was this man in town, and like, I tell you, it was always the weirdest times that this guy, I would run into this guy. And he'd be like, hey, Teddy, how you doing? I'm like, first, I was amazed that he remembered my name because I was nobody. I sometimes forgot that I even had a name because I was called other things. But he always remembered my name. How you doing today? And that always just blew me away. And he gave me like 20 bucks. Not because of anything weird or anything. And magically, it was that $20 that day that fed our family for several days. Because my mom drank it away the day before. God uses his people to meet the needs. You see, God calls you. That truly exemplifies that rephrasing of this phrase of God helps those that cannot help themselves. He is a good God all the time. We definitely should discuss ways of helping, not hurting. Creating independence on somebody is not a good thing, right? Those constant handouts where they constantly know, I'm going to go to you because I know you're going to give me money. When what they need to do is start learning to fend for themselves, teaching them something, guiding them, directing them, giving them the encouragement to then stand on their own two feet, in their own abilities. But they need a hand up sometimes. So when we look at that, we look at God and how great he is. And you look at that phrase that we started with today of God helps those that help themselves. We truly know that that is a false statement just by looking at a few verses. But I'm sure you have spent lots of time in scripture. I know that there's many, many, many more spots that allow us to know that that phrase is false. When we look at the phrasing of God helps those in need who cannot help themselves, man, that's inspirational. That's God truth. That is a truth bomb that we can offer anytime and know that we're fully backed by the one who calls us, by the one who wrote the scripture, by the one who tells us to be his hands and feet in this world. Believing the half-truth can cause us to think something else. If we believe that half-truth of God helps those that help themselves, and you work really hard and you can never get ahead because you try harder, work hard, work more hours, spend more effort trying to do it yourself, it just comes this picture of like, well, God doesn't love me. If you believe that half-truth. But when you stop believing that half-truth and you really truly realize that God helps those that cannot help themselves. Now that's a truth. Because when you're in need and you're asking for a hand up, then all of us in this room should be willing to stand right there with them. Look into our wrap-up, and I'll be brief in this wrap-up. That's a lot wrapped up in this short little half-truth, isn't it? That some of us have used, mistakenly, of course. Some of us had those wrong intonations in our head to think, well, this sounds about right. Surely it's in the Bible somewhere, but forgot that we live in a world of Siri and Google and Alexa, who answers us on call. Funny side note, every time I call Sarah's name, Sarah, Siri answers me. Hello, Teddy. I'm like, what's going on here? I'm serious. Every time I say Sarah's name, she answers. I'm like, don't stop listening. Anyway, I detract. When we listen to these half-truths, they can destroy us. They cause us to lie to ourselves, lie to our family and friends. But a whole lot wrapped up in that, right? It boils down to the recognition that it's our part and how God provides for his people. This week we learned a phrase in Fight Club about how God is a great provider, that he's a Jehovah Jireh. And we look at that name, Jehovah Jireh, he truly is the great provider. And if you're into Hebrew, there it is written for you. If you're not, it looks like a picture, and that's okay. But the reality is, he is truly the provider. But I'm telling you, he is calling you right now for the person you're going to be helping soon. That doesn't mean financially. That could mean financially. But he's calling you right now for that right moment that you're going to help somebody up. You're not going to hand them out anything. You're going to extend your right hand and help them up. And he's calling you right now, in this moment, in this time, to be ready to answer that call. Because he is the great Jehovah Jireh. He truly is the great provider. And he truly is calling his people to be his hands and feet in his communities. So truth today, walk away with this phrasing. Forget the phrasing we started with and remember this phrasing right here. God helps those who cannot help themselves. And so if somebody's asking you for a hand out, offer them a hand up. If they don't accept your hand up, chances are they just want a hand out. And I don't think it's unchristian of you to say no. But when that person asks for a hand up and you ignore it, you walk away, that's between you and God. Because he's calling you right now. Be ready to offer that hand up. Because he truly calls us to be a part of his story. And his story says that we are his hands and feet in his communities. Are you acting like it? Or are you using that phrase that we started today with? Let's end with the correct phrase of knowing what it means. That God helps those who cannot help themselves. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this series. Thank you for the way you encourage us and guide us and direct us. Father, I am so thankful for your people to be here today and those that are sitting in this room, those of you that will watch us on, those that are watching on BCTV and those that are watching online and wherever it is that you're using, whatever platform you're using to bring you glory, not us. We're not trying to shape banner. We're trying to shape your church based on your will. And Father, today, use this phrase to empower us to do better. Father, guide and direct us to be your hands and feet and truly live out that phrasing of you help those who cannot help themselves. And Father, we extend that by saying you call us to be your hands and feet. Father, we are so thankful for you. And we say this in your Son's precious name. And all your people said, amen.